Welcome to Web and Beyond Live for December 20th, 2021. I'm Ray Sidney Smith, president of W3 Consulting and managing director of W3C Web Services, which provides affordable web and WordPress hosting, domain name registration services. We have Microsoft 365 licensing and other web-related services, primarily for small business. Of course, Web and Beyond Live is our weekly show about topical and timely small business digital marketing and related issues. Whether you're watching live or the replay or listening to the podcast after the fact, feel free to ask questions in the chat or in the comment section. And of course, I'll do my best to answer them. And if you are listening asynchronously and you want to be able to message me and you don't find a place, you can always tweet at me at W3 Consulting, at W3 Consulting on Twitter as well. And so, of course, welcome everybody. This is our Small Business Social Network Updates episode. This is the December 2021 edition. This will be our last episode of the year before we return back in 2022. So we're going to be covering a lot of social networking news. We have a lot to cover. And so I'm going to hop right into it with our first kind of item here, which is I just wanted to let everybody know about the fact that there are many different social media holiday calendars. And this is just really good for you to know in general. Just know that falcon.io, they have, and I'll have links to all of these things in the show notes. And actually, as a further note to this episode, there are a lot more stories in the show notes and as well as in the description than I can cover in the time we have today. So I'm going to be covering literally just a subset of all the stories that we collected for today. But if you check the video description after the show, as well as the show notes in the podcast, you'll find links to all of this stuff. And we always put this in a blog post on our website. So you can always find that at w3cinc.com/blog. So it's w3cinc.com/blog. And you'll find a blog post, which will have all of this stuff in the embedded episode. So you can always find that there as well. Either way, if you are thinking through what you're going to be planning for next year's social calendar and in terms of social content, look to these calendars. They're really helpful for you to be able to understand what's going on out there in the world. And so this one from falcon.io, there's one from HubSpot does one. I think that Hootsuite also does one. So just check those out as you're making your way through because they're really useful in that sense. All right. So I'm going to cover this in order of from the Meta and Meta-owned companies, which are Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and so on and so forth, onto the other social networks, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Snapchat, TikTok, Twitter. And then I'm going to cover YouTube and some other of the social networks that are out there that are maybe not as dominant as those primary ones. So we can have a thoughtful discussion about this. And hopefully technology is on my side. It has been a difficult morning with technology. So I'm fighting a little bit here with technology. And so hopefully we can get our slides to show. If not, then I'm just going to go off of my own notes here as well. So either way, while we wait for technology to catch up, let's start on the Meta stories. First and foremost, Meta has opened up its Horizon Worlds platform, what they're calling the Metaverse, and they're making that available to all adults in the United States and Canada. And so that's their first step or foray into bringing, you know, people in contact with the metaverse in this sense. And so we'll see what happens and people can start to, play in that space. And if you don't know what the metaverse is, really at this point, don't worry about it. it's a virtual reality space whereby Meta is trying to really work through what's going to happen for the future of, being connected on the World Wide Web. Next up, we have Meta has also gone out there and announced that they are opening up some new augmented reality tools for creators. So more users are going to be able to basically go out there and do more in the creator space. I think this is really good for really everybody. But the reality is that for business owners, you're really going to have to start thinking through how is it that you are planning out the future of augmented reality as it relates to your brands. And this is not just in the retail product space. This is also in retail service and also in some other professional services areas. So start thinking creatively. How are you demonstrating your products and services in a digital space for potential clients, current clients, and otherwise? There are lots of applications here. And I think that this is going to be a really huge, next avenue. We're going to talk about that a little bit more as we make our way through the episode. And I know I've talked about augmented reality in the past, but I think it's just really that important for us to really get on board and start thinking through how this is all going to work. Okay, next up, I think I've covered all of my Meta-specific news that I wanted to cover today. So let's hop into Facebook news. Next up is that Facebook has announced a new professional mode and new creator tools within the Facebook platform. So in essence, you now have a quote-unquote professional mode, and this allows you to presumably gain greater access to some of those professional features we know from a Facebook page inside of a profile. So this is a huge change, right? Because it used to be that you had to have a Facebook page in order to really see any of the data associated with your Facebook business components. Now they're giving you those capabilities from a personal profile. I'm not sure how they're going to use this model. They've really only selected certain US profiles right now and giving those people those access to it. Presumably these are people who have some form of celebrity and a large audience, and they're testing this out. And so we'll see what happens with regard to both the profiles getting the professional access to analytics and some other tools there, but also then what tools they're going to give to those people at that same time. But in essence, from what we can see, those people are going to be able to be paid for reels that they produce on the platform. Obviously, they're going to make their profile public so that they can publish content publicly into the newsfeed while still being able to share privately with friends as well. And then, of course, being able to see analytics, being able to see those insights on the platform itself. All right. So that's the creator profile, which is really interesting. And that takes us along to them easing restrictions on certain social issues. And so if you have not succumbed to this yet, there are all kinds of issues around posting related to social issues. You might deal with homelessness or other kinds of things that ultimately, or healthcare, and because of, the issues around politics and so on and so forth, at least here in the United States, but certainly also globally, there have been some more restrictions on those particular types of ads. So in this case, Facebook is relaxing those. You do need to include a disclaimer in those ads for those social items. I would highly recommend that you just check out the article in the show notes and in the description of the video and make sure that you just align with them so that you can do those ads if you were planning to do so. But it's good to see them relaxing some of these rules. It's going to require a lot more thought and energy into making sure that these rules match up properly with everything. Next is that Facebook is testing changes to their newsfeed algorithm. This is obviously not their first change to the newsfeed algorithm, but it is certainly a huge step into that space. So one of the things they're going to be doing is just trying to prioritize certain types of users and their content that's being shown. And so that'll be really interesting. I'll be really interested to see how they favor content from close friends. You have this category of close friends within the platform, and that allows for greater organic reach of those things. And of course, that means that Facebook pages are going to get lower and lower organic reach themselves. This is a problem for all of us in business who are trying to find and engage with our audiences there. And I think that it's just Facebook pushing for us to pay more to be seen by our own audiences. So this is a real disadvantage to businesses. And so just be prepared for more of your content not to be seen on Facebook, which means that you need to start utilizing Reels on Facebook. You need to start utilizing Stories on Facebook so that you can get that initial content seen or that content seen organically by your followers already. And, Stories are for the people who follow you. Reels are for discovery, that initial contact with potential new customers. And so it's just a real challenge that I think all of us are going to be facing going forward into 2022. And then just a number of new little things that I wanted to mention that Facebook was doing. They've published three new guides, one for influencer marketing and how it benefits those who utilize it. So they've put out this new guide. They've also published a new guide for optimizing your the marketplace for the holidays. And so being able to utilize those kinds of tools on the Facebook platform for being able to represent your business well during the holidays. They've also launched a series, they're calling it, of live shopping events. So they're doing more of those live shopping events. This is going to be happening actually on Instagram. And so you're going to see more of these. It's like basically QVC or, you know, Home Shopping Network type events happening directly on Instagram for the holidays. Going back to Facebook, though, for one note is that they have something called stars on Facebook where you can buy, in essence, credits in the Facebook platform and utilize them for being able to give to creators. And basically they're like tipping people, right? It's like you're giving tips to folks who are creating content on the platform. This circumvents, of course, the Apple and Google and other platforms that restrict the use of payments outside of their own platform. And so Facebook is trying to circumvent that, and they're really pushing this whole stars concept for being able to do that. I'm curious how this will all work out, but ultimately Facebook has the you know, size, the gravitas to be able to make stars a thing that happens not just on its platform, potentially reaching beyond the platform to other places. So I'll be curious to see how that actually works out in the long term. Back to Instagram. So as I said, Instagram put out this new series of live shopping events for the holidays. But in addition, they've added quite a number of new features to the platform recently. First and foremost, they're adding an option to be able to reply to comments in Reels. Or with Reels, that is. So in the comments of Instagram posts, you will now have the ability to reply with a Reel. And I think this is really interesting. I really don't know why this wasn't really a capability before, but just like in Twitter, where you can respond and reply with multimedia, Instagram is now giving you the capability first here with Reels. I wish they would give the ability to reply with just regular posts, regular stories, as well as Reels. But we'll see how they go with this. But I think this is a really good step in that right direction to be able to have a visual reply capability to comments within the feed. Because now if you comment as a business on, say, a popular profile, you're showcasing that content for yourself in the comments, right? You're capturing some of that audience by virtue of going where your audience is already having a deep conversation around a topic. I think that's really, really powerful to see how that really works out in the future. Okay, next up is that Instagram has now brought stickers that allow you to put links in them in your stories. So not Reels, but stories. This is really powerful because now they're allowing you to do custom link stickers, basically adding custom text to your link stickers in those stories. So you have new options for the colors of the links that you have in stories, and you have the ability to customize the text that appears there. And so I think this is going to be really, really great. I mean, you just being able to have stories for your audience, your organic audience, to be able to see, and for you then to be able to push them to a particular link off platform is just, you know, always important. Now to be able to do that is going to reduce the link in bio problem in stories, at least. It's not going to overcome that in posts, but certainly in stories. And I'm really glad that Instagram is giving us that capability finally. Next up is that Instagram is testing 60-second stories. So some users are seeing the capability of you having a story up to 60 seconds in length, meaning that an individual story post can be 60 seconds in length. And I hope that they set that into place. You know, TikTok has been playing with different lengths of TikTok video lengths. You know, Instagram Reels has been testing with different lengths, and now they're doing this with stories, and I'm glad to see them doing that. There has been a new study, and I'm not going to get too far into the weeds here with the study, but the study basically researched how many hashtags you should use on Instagram. They analyzed 18 million posts and in the Instagram feed, and just determining what the right number is. And then just figuring that piece out. According to Instagram's own creators account, that's the @creators account, they said that users only need to use between 3 and 5 hashtags. So that was really interesting because then the advice, of course, contradicts what the platform's prior suggestion was, which was to use between 8 and 15 hashtags in the earlier part of this year. And so this particular study now has come out and provides, you know, a suggestion. This is not definitive by any likeness, but they give us some, you know, general understandings of what we should do. So I highly recommend that you check out the link in the article here and, you know, read through the study. But I think it's really important that we take this into context, right? But the study done by later.com, the software platform, they basically said that you should have 30 hashtags. It's the maximum number that you can have in posts, and it gives you greatest diversity of the various areas, right? Starting out at the largest generic hashtags that get the most traffic, down to the niche hashtags, the more specific hashtags that you can then cross-reference different posts that are about your brand to those hashtags. So they said that they found that 20 hashtags had the highest average reach rate, and that those with 30 hashtags were not too far behind. So 30 hashtags seems to be a pretty good number, since that's the number that Instagram limits you at. So that was this really interesting little study that I found. Either way, if you want to get further into the details of the analysis, I would highly suggest you check out the form there. Okay, a couple other items coming out of Meta with Instagram. Instagram has now added a new option for you to be able to embed your user profile on a website. This has been a long time desire of mine, which is just to be able to post your profile on your website. You know, I'm a WordPress host and I do a lot of WordPress stuff. And so I want my WordPress website to just have my Instagram profile there for W3 Consulting on the website. Now they are allowing you to do that natively without you having to utilize anything else. So really love this idea, and I highly recommend it, because so many people are launching their websites, and what do? They put all those little links, those little, you know, social network links on their website, and they're directing people away from their website. So you do all of this work to bring people to your website. The whole point is to get people off of social networks where you're meeting and encouraging and engaging people to your website so that they can get to know what your products and services are and then ultimately buy from you. And then you send them away as soon as they come to your website, back to social media or away to social media in the first place. And then they never come back to your website. So your goal is to keep them on your website. Yes, maybe you do want them to follow you on Instagram or the social network of their preference, but you don't want them to leave your website in that process. So being able to embed a user profile like this is really, really important. So now they can click follow and they can continue browsing your website wherever they might have entered into your site. All right, let's move along to LinkedIn. LinkedIn recently shared a new report on Gen Z, Generation Z, and they are attempting to show how LinkedIn users that are Gen Zers interact on the platform, and how brands can focus their marketing efforts on finding and connecting with that Gen Z audience. And of course, they talk about purpose. You know, what is the mission of the organization, and are they doing it for some purpose outside of the direct, we're a business because we want to make money. Okay, that's a given. But beyond that, what is your greater purpose as a business? They really want to know about that. And of course, to Gen Z, reliability and authenticity are two things that really speak to them. But I highly recommend you check out the infographic and some of the further details that they provide in there. Okay, moving right along to Pinterest. Pinterest is expanding its video creation tools because they recently acquired a platform or a video editing tool called Voci, or I'm going to presume it's called Voci, but Pinterest announced the acquisition of Voci as a video editing app. And obviously, Pinterest has brought, I'm guessing they're calling it Pinterest Watch or Pinterest TV. And this is a live streaming platform on there. So I'm going to presume that they're going to bring more and more of these video editing capabilities from Voci into the platform. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that all works. But you can, you know, clip things. It gives you the ability to do 3D effects and other visual effects from within the Voci application. And so presumably that app is going to be brought into Pinterest for those purposes. So really interested to see how that all works out. All right, a couple of other things. Pinterest is launching a new in-house lab, in essence, a product lab. They're calling it 220. And so you're going to hear me talking much more about 220 in the future, I'm sure, when Pinterest puts out new experiments from this in-house team. So very cool there. Pinterest has also published a couple of different guides. And again, these links are all available to you to look at, but holiday gift trends and insights between generations, again, back to that generations concept, a new guide on optimizing your product catalog feed for product pins. And they've also published a trend predictions for 2022 report. So all three of those reports will be in the links for you to be able to check out. Onward to Snapchat. Snapchat has made a bunch of AR moves in the market. And as I started out today talking about, Snapchat has a new AR Christmas market that they have launched. They've partnered with six major retailers. And this is, I think, the first of what they're going to be doing in this kind of space, where they're going to be partnering with creators eventually, not just major retailers, but probably smaller retailers and more creators as they attempt to be able to create a greater experience for people to be able to hold up their phone and to be able to see in their physical space the products that they want to buy. Because the moment you see the blouse on you, or you see the product in your hand, or you can see the product on your table, or you can see the furniture in your living room, you have a greater sense of ownership of that thing and a greater likelihood of buying. And so you as a business owner need to start thinking about AR in this really interesting way. And Snapchat is, of course, pushing the envelope here by providing new tools and campaigns for you to be able to do that. And in doing so, they have, thankfully, they've gone out there and put together a top AR tools and campaigns of 2021 report. They call it Lens of the Year report. And they're pointing out all of the various AR things in AR that really worked well on the platform. Specific here, of course, to Snapchat. But remember, this is going to be generalizable very quickly, where more and more platforms are giving you these tools. As I said before, Facebook and Meta are launching the AR, as Meta is launching these tools for the creators across its entire platform, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, so that you're capable of doing more of this AR development. And augmented reality just makes a lot of sense. You want to be able to visualize these physical items or manipulate the physical environment utilizing the phone in your hand or the computer or laptop or tablet in front of you. And these AR tools are giving you those capabilities, not just for creative and arts purposes, but specifically for business purposes, where, okay, how is this tool that I use in my business going to work? Well, you can give it to your employee, so to speak, in a visual, virtual environment, and have them utilize it and figure things out and learn. And therefore, you don't have to ship physical products to people before they get them and then not know how to use them. This is the way that AR really is going to be foundational. I think there's also a really strong promotional and sales component to being able to show people augmented reality tools in a business context. And that means your products and your services can be shown to clients without you having to travel to them and or handle customer service issues. They have something that, maybe they don't know how to use it or work it. You can now bring an augmented reality version of the product into space and show them how to use it. This is the future of how we're really going to be able to interact and relate with clients in a digital sense. And so do not discount the augmented reality and really paying attention to what Snapchat is doing here. They've also put out a new report that shows data on the marketing benefits of immersive AR experiences. This is a whole other category, right, where you can actually take people on tours in using augmented reality and those kinds of things. That's a whole nother avenue of that. But they've also outlined some of the advanced AR functions that they're building into both Snapchat, the application, into the Snap camera, but also into their AR spectacles, the Snap spectacles, which is the physical glasses that we talked about a couple of months ago. So Snapchat is doing the most I've seen in terms of utilizing augmented reality. And I think before virtual reality, before the metaverse, we're really going to see augmented reality be the next kind of adventure, the next horizon in terms of small business promotional activities. And we need to get ourselves ready for that. That being the case, Snapchat is not immune to the audio craze right now. And so they have recently made a deal with Sony Music to be able to get sounds into their library. And so now Snapchat creators are capable of utilizing those sounds from the sounds library from those deals. So you're going to be able to use a lot more music in your content for free utilizing this Sony Music deal. Next is that Snapchat has also launched a new story audio app, and that is for actually video content creation, funny enough. But this story studio app is there to be able to create these different types of simplified, streamlined videos. And so it's vertical video content creation. Only a select number of Snapchat users have been invited to it, but there's a lot of capability here inside the app, and I'm sure that once they get over the hump of testing it, they're going to go on and bring that out to more and more users. And especially with Meta launching their Spark AR Go application, I think it's going to be a really neck and neck between Meta and the folks at Snap to really fight over who gets dominance in the AR space. All right, moving along to TikTok. TikTok has a whole bunch of news, and so I'm not going to be able to cover all of this, but I'm just going to cover over the highlights. One is that they put out their most recent 23 top products on the platform. This is really great because you get to see what the most popular products that were promoted on the platform were in 2021. Highly recommend checking that out. They also put out a best practices guide to increase TikTok video ad conversions. So they basically put out the best practices for driving conversions with your ads. Very, very powerful stuff, and highly recommend checking that out as well. They've launched several new programs. One is a Creator Next program. This is for monetization of your content on TikTok. They've also now launched, and this is the biggest thing for me, is they've now launched the ability to do business registration. So you can actually register for a TikTok account that is a business. And so I think that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to look at how I can convert our W3 Consulting TikTok account, which we've produced no content for, but it's just, for testing purposes, registering it as a business-based account and seeing what kinds of new and interesting data you have access to from that point there. TikTok has also launched a new feature for you to be able to tag other users in videos that has been a major failing of the platform. If I want to be able to get you to be aware of what I'm doing, I want to be able to tag you in those videos, strategic partners, potential people who will reshare my content or remix my content. All of those things are things that I want to be able to do on the platform, and that we haven't been able to do that to date has been a little bit of a challenge. And so now being able to do that is really great. TikTok has something called TikTok TV. This is their version of I'm not sure you can call it TikTok Live, because that's not probably the right mechanism for it. But in essence, it's TikTok for the big screen. So it allows you to be able to expand your content for streaming services to Google TV, Android TVs, and other of the smart TVs out there in the manufactured space. And so TikTok TV is now being expanded to North America on more platforms. And so I'll be curious to check it out. I really didn't know much about TikTok TV until I saw the news about that. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what that's all about. TikTok has also released community talks. Community talks are basically a promotional push from TikTok to show advertisers how to take advantage of TikTok through ads. TikTok is also planning to open, the strangest thing I've heard probably all month, is a series of restaurants. TikTok is planning to open a series of restaurants. They're called TikTok Kitchen, and they'll be delivery only restaurants. So what some people call ghost kitchens, right? So they're basically producing them for purposes of having people create stuff and then do delivery. I'm curious to see whether or not this is going to be a place where they allow or engage creators in the process. We'll see what happens there, because I could very easily see this being a place where creators are creating content for TikToks utilizing these ghost kitchens, and then they are getting the opportunity to then get their products to market through delivery applications like Dash, DoorDash, Uber Eats, and so on and so forth. And then last item in the TikTok space is that TikTok is testing a new desktop live streaming application. This is really focused on the gamers and gamer streaming platforms. But this is really great for all of us, which is to be able to go live on TikTok from a desktop live streaming application. Really expands our access to be able to engage communities on TikTok in that way. And while I'm still bearish on TikTok, I mean, TikTok for all intents and purposes, by the numbers, has grown the most this year than any other social network. They have brought in the most money, and they've got the ability to engage with a new audience. They are still a Chinese-owned company, and China has been cracking down on technology companies left and right, fining them and really hampering their abilities. They did this with Didi, the ride-hailing service, the car ride-hailing service. And so I just don't know where TikTok is going to go, and that they are beyond our borders in that sense. And because of China's political climate, I'm not particularly interested in doing too much on TikTok. But I also recognize that many of you out there are testing TikTok and utilizing TikTok and Instagram Reels. And so I'm really curious from you. Make sure you let me know about your experiences on the TikTok platform and maybe where you might be finding success or coming up against some challenges on the platform, because I'm really interested in seeing how we're getting people off of the platform to make sure that if China decides to crack down on TikTok, there's still an opportunity for you to capture and collect those audience members onto another platform very quickly and easily. All right, on to Twitter. Just a couple of items from Twitter. Twitter had its CEO step down. Jack Dorsey has stepped down from Twitter and has now handed it off to one of his other longtime engineers to elevate to CEO. And so that's not really all that, not a shock to me at least, but I think that it's really important for us to note that Twitter is under new leadership, and that means there's going to probably be a different focus for Twitter going forward, and so we'll be paying attention to that moving forward as well. Twitter's done a couple of acquisitions. They acquired Threader and Quill. Both of these, I think, are feature grabs for Twitter Blue, which is Twitter's new subscription service, and then, of course, adding new features to the Twitter main application. In that sense, Twitter has also providing live stream shopping experiences. So right in line with all of the other platforms, they're doing more of this kind of home shopping network, QVC type of experiences. And so they're offering these live stream shopping experiences. Presumably, they're partnering with major retailers for that. Twitter has also published a new feature, which is auto captioning for all videos that are uploaded to Twitter. I'm ardent advocate for making digital media, digital marketing, promotional activity, and your website SEO all accessible. And what's good for Google in that sense, that is a highly accessible platform, is good for the business owner, because Google is going to give you preferential treatment for the more accessibility that you give to your websites. And I think now social platforms are following that same lead, that the more users that are capable of experiencing it without as much friction, the better experience they have and the more they'll use those applications. So now all of your video uploads in tweets will be auto-captioned, which is just phenomenal. And that's great for all of us who just want to read something and don't really want the audio associated with it, depending upon the environment we're in. We're in a loud space, we don't want to have audio playing, or we're, at work and don't want, audio playing out loud. We just want to be able to capture the content of the video. Now that will be able to be done. Twitter has also published a planning guide for 2022. If you want to figure out a better tweet strategy, a new Twitter strategy, they actually have published a guide for you to be able to check that out. So I thought that was pretty good of them to do so. A couple items on YouTube. YouTube has removed the public dislike counts from videos. I think this is phenomenal. This does not mean that you as the publisher of the video will still not be able to see those, but from the public view, dislike counts are now gone. And I think that is just a great way to clean up the web in this very light touch way. And I think that that's really good. Unfortunately, Twitter is actually testing a dislike button on their tweets. I think that's a poor move, and I hope that they don't make that a widespread thing. But removing those on YouTube, I think, has been, for me at least, a really great component, because it doesn't help anybody to see a bunch of dislikes. What it does help is to know how many likes people are having for this content. And I hope that eventually YouTube gives us more data as to when those dislikes were happening. And also they've been testing a time signatured comment, so that if somebody makes a comment, positive or negative, you know when they made it in the video. So if you liked this moment in the video and this content, that's really helpful for me to know. But it's also helpful for me to know that, like, oh geez, Ray, you were really boring around minute 10. And if you place that comment in that moment in time, that really helps the video creator know how good that particular moment in the content is versus the entire content. Because if you just write, boring, as a comment, well, the whole video was boring, just a portion of the video. So it's really good for them to be able to do time signatured comments. And I think removing the dislike count is just helpful in general. All right. Last up in YouTube news is YouTube is starting to highlight places mentioned in videos, and they've also added a collections to help sort subscriptions. I really care about the places mentioned in videos component here. So this is really important. One is that every video you upload in the editing section of the video in your YouTube Studio dashboard, you have the capability of placing a location in your videos. I highly recommend that you make sure that you always place a location within the vicinity of your business or your target audience in those videos. But now you can also add tags for locations. You can do all of those things, but they're also listening to the videos, right? Because they're transcribing and captioning all of these videos that are being uploaded, and they're listening for places that you're mentioning. So if you say, Yosemite National Park, or if you say, you're in Tuscaloosa, Oklahoma, or in your Brooklyn, New York, or whatever the terms and places you might be mentioning, they are picking up those locations. And so, I have a business that for the most part is based out of the Washington, D.C. area. And so when that is heard inside the video, now YouTube is hearing that and saying, oh, well, this location has been referenced in relation to this particular topic of the video. We should show this to more of those people in that jurisdiction, in that region. This is really, really powerful and important to keep in mind. This means that probably at the beginning of your videos, you probably want to say where your business is located in the process of it. So if you're an insurance agent in Miami, Florida, you actually say that at the top of the video, your actual location, in line with that. And that also means that it's highlighting not just cities and states, but also landmarks and other regionals, counties, regions, states, and so on and so forth. So very important for you to start thinking through how you're mentioning location in your videos for local search results within YouTube, but more greater than that on YouTube as a whole. So very, very powerful there. All right, wrapping up with kind of all of the other fledgling networks, as well as some of the other smaller networks that are out there, but are just as important, I think, to small business. Yelp has just put out a new survey basically covers what makes reviews trustworthy. Highly recommend you check it out. I learned a couple things from reading that, and I do this every day. And Reddit has filed to go public. So they're going to be on the New York Stock Exchange, I believe, very soon. They also introduced a new feature for user experiences in a live mode, basically giving real-time voting to users on Reddit. And so I think that's just a really interesting kind of addition in the platform. So as you're seeing comments come in and so on and so forth, you can see that X number of people are typing in the comments now, but also you'll see a similar indicator for what people are doing, when they're doing it, how they're doing it on the platform, and in more of a real-time setting. And I think that that's a really good kind of like detail that's brought to the platform, I think, for people who are attempting to engage people in more real-time ways on Reddit. I'm not one of those people, but I know that the concept of being able to get people engaged on Reddit in a real-time environment, certainly in smaller communities where it's very niche, I think can be a useful piece there. Okay. Next up, Clubhouse has added live closed captions on iOS so far. So that's really good. Again, going back to that accessibility component, Clubhouse has added closed captionings for live Clubhouse rooms. So you'll see text appear if you want to be able to read along with the conversation. And then, of course, they've added, for me as a podcaster, the number one feature that I've been looking for, which is the replays feature. And so now you can actually record Clubhouse rooms and be able to then have these replays in them. I think we talked about that already, but I think it's really good to note that they're now bringing that out across the platform and giving us capabilities there. Discord has introduced a premium memberships feature. You used to have to use another tool in order to be able to do that, and now Discord is giving you the capability of charging premium basically subscription fees, monthly subscription fees, to paywall the a server, or I'm not sure if it's an entire server or just parts of a server. I think it's the entire server itself. And so, so very, very cool. And I think that, you know, again, this means that you don't have to use Patreon or Memberful or any of those other platforms to do that now. You can do that all on Discord. And I think that's going to really challenge a lot of the other community platforms that are out there. And like, as you know, I'm a huge fan of Mighty Networks. And so if you have any questions about Mighty Networks or want to use it, feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to talk to you through that. But Discord is, you know, really catering to the younger generations, and they're doing a lot in that space to be able to push the monetization of their platform in that way. All right, next up, Medium has acquired Knowable. Knowable is like an audio learning application, so you can listen to, you know, audio lessons on the go. And so if you're trying to learn on the go, Knowable has now been acquired by Medium. Presumably they're going to bundle that some way, shape, or form into the current Medium subscription model. So we'll see how that goes. A couple of former Facebook and Twitter execs have launched a new social branding app for Generation Z, Gen Zers, called Tag. I don't know very much more about it than the fact that they've done so, but if you want to learn more about it, you can check out the article on TechCrunch. And then last but not least is Google has launched a new application called Kaya. I'm presuming that's how you pronounce the name, Q-A-Y-A. And it's an application that helps to facilitate monetization for creators. So no matter where you are on the web, you can provide a link, a basically direct links to a digital storefront where you can sell things and take payments in various methods as well. And so this is just great, because as you can see, if you are a creator on Facebook and on TikTok and on Instagram and Twitter and so on and so forth, you're being stretched across these many different places. And it looks like Kaya is giving us potentially a nice, attractive space to be able to create a digital storefront that becomes a central hub for all of those kinds of things across the many different social presences, as well as e-commerce presences that you might have as a creator. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how Kaya works, and you get to basically have, you know, your name, you know, as a custom URL, basically a custom domain name. That you can register W3C Web Services if you wanted to. but, you know, the idea is that then otherwise you can have a kaya.store/ and then a vanity URL. So your business name or whatever it might be. And then you just have that payment functionality built in. So I think it's really, really great for Google to be doing that. And we'll see how that picks up and takes off. Of course, you know, Google is known for killing things off if they don't work. So, you know, don't expect it to last forever. But at least they're trying to put out some new tools for creators in that sense. All right, we have covered a lot of material here. And so I just want to make sure that I have covered all of the pieces. We have a webinar coming up on digital marketing trends for 2022. So if you check out w3cinc.com/events, you can find out how to register for that, as well as our January 20th Web and Beyond. Our first Web and Beyond webinar will be January 20th of 2022 for the next year. So we'll be putting that out as well. Our first roundtable will actually be coming up. So put this on your calendar. Tuesday, January 4th at noon, we'll be having our first Small Business Virtual Roundtable of 2022. That's on the first Tuesdays of the month, just generally. And you can come and we have a different topic each month and so on and so forth for you to be able to join. Of course, you can learn all about that and more by joining Web and Beyond community. That's our free community that has, you know, different programs and other courses on the platform, but the main community is free, and you can go to www.webandbeyond.community to be able to access that. And otherwise, we've come to the end of our time together today. Thanks so much for it's just me on screen today, if you've been watching the live stream, just because of the technical difficulties. But thanks for putting up with it and getting through it with me as I fumbled my way through my notes. But if you've enjoyed this live stream, feel free to click the thumbs up icon. That helps us make new small business friends on YouTube and elsewhere. So thank you for doing that. If you have a question, leave a comment here on the video, or if you're listening after the fact, tweet or message us at W3 Consulting. That's W3 Consulting on Twitter. And we're pretty much W3 Consulting of some variation across all the other socials. You can join us every Monday, typically at 11 a.m. Eastern. And just a note that we will probably be changing the time around come the new year. So since we're at the last episode, I'll just redact that to say we'll make an announcement all across all of our various socials and via email to our client base, letting you all know that when we'll be actually going live next year, just because the times and formats will change. And we'll probably go live in a different places throughout the course of at least January. And this is just like testing. And we'll come back and kind of tell you what the experience has been going live on these different platforms and so on and so forth. But either way, thanks so much for spending this Web and Beyond Live with me, and really all of the Web and Beyond Lives with me that you have been listening to over the course of 2021 and into 2022. We really appreciate you listening, and hopefully this has been useful information and learning about all of the various social network updates, but of course all the digital marketing trends and so on and so forth that we talk about throughout the year. I'm Ray Sidney Smith on behalf of W3 Consulting and our subsidiary W3C Web Services. Have a great week ahead and a great rest of the year ahead, marketing your small business on the web and beyond.